Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
On a rough road riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Obama. Shut up your mouth, Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. Remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today, 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. You know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet friggin' Earth, it is a very, very, very busy news day. Well, let me tell you, shipmates, today is absolutely no exception. And there are literally tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of people out there that are desperate to take away your freedom. So we must lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway already. Today, hello. All right, look back there. You know, I mean, look, when I give my little finger wave over there, that means that you gotta push the button. Ay, 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 ay. You can't get good help these days, I swear to God. Where'd you come from, the government? Wake up back there. Put the donuts down. Pay attention. Jiminy Christmas. All right, we are officially underway, and we're headed out to sea. Supposed to make. Could you please shift colors? Thank you. All right, before we get in to the scuttlebutt of the day, I thought that we had an omen. I thought that we had a sign of hope until my producer showed up this morning, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, guess what? We do actually have a sign of hope. I believe this is an omen. I'm going to go ahead and say this is an omen, and this is a sign of hope. Some 250 years ago, since the American bald eagle nested along the three rivers of Pittsburgh. Now, how about that? Bald eagles are coming back to Pittsburgh. Now, that right there, that's an omen. That's a sign of hope. Maybe there is hope for this country yet. Maybe we are starting to turn around. Well, good for that bald eagle, and I hope it makes it. Look, I'm a nature lover. I love animals. I love watching nature. I don't have a problem with people hunting because we've got to eat. I'm sorry, but we got to eat animals. You don't eat animals, well, you're not going to live. You can live on your little vegetables if you want to. My body can't handle that. My body needs meat. Look at all the vegetarians that you know. Most of them are sick all the time. And why? Well, because they don't have the right nourishment. Human beings, we're omnivores, which means we eat animals and we eat vegetables. And as of late, we've been having to eat crap. And speaking of eating crap, let's get into the scuttlebutt of the day. Obama's out there spiking the football. Oh, yes, we got our number. And look, come on. Did you really think that they weren't going to get to their number? I mean, come on. Come on. The number's fake. You want to talk about a phony scandal? That's a phony scandal. This is a phony scandal. These people are just phony, period. But I want to know, where was old Kat Sebelius? How come she wasn't up there? Is this administration embarrassed because she botched the website? Well, it wasn't her. She didn't build it. She didn't really do anything. What the hell does she know about healthcare anyway? She was a governor of what, Kansas? These people are figureheads. She's getting paid damn good money to stand up there and look pretty. And then go out there and go in front of Congress and lie and tell everybody how great and wonderful it is. You don't ever get the truth. But we've got a whole bunch of clips here today. And the reason why we're playing these, I hate playing this guy sometimes. I really do, because he makes me nauseous every time he opens up his mouth. But I watched about the last, it was about 12 minutes, 10 minutes of this speech that he gave yesterday. Which I'm glad that he changed that stupid tie that he always wears. Not that that matters. I just am overly critical now, so that's just irrelevant. Just forget that. Strike that off the friggin' record. But I could not believe, at the short time that I watched this, how many lies this person said in 10 minutes. I think there's got to be a record. Guinness, where are you? Somebody's got to call Guinness Book of World Records over here. We have got to put that in the book. This is absolutely ridiculous. Let's start here now with this cut number one. And I'm just going to play the last little bits because there's so much that this man said that you can't cover it all. My God, we'd never get anything done. Let's just go down the list here. I'm going to be digressing like a freaking madman today. You can't help it. This is just absolutely insanity. The things that he was saying yesterday my mind was just exploding. I'm glad I didn't have any objects in my hand at the time because I wouldn't have a television. It would have been destroyed. So let's start here. This is cut number one. Barry Satoro, go ahead.
It's working. It's helping people from coast to coast.
Oh, yeah, coast to coast, everywhere.
All of which makes the links to which critics have gone to scare people.
Scare them.
Or undermine the law or try to repeal the law without offering any plausible alternative so hard to understand.
Undermine and repeal the law. Kind of like your 37 delays that you put on your law. Are you undermining? You were the one undermining the law. First of all, Mr. President. God, don't you hate having to say that? Imagine if you worked for this guy and every morning, oh, good morning, Mr. President. Every time you spoke to him, you had to say, Mr. President. Oh, my God, I'd never be able to keep my food down. I'd be walking and yakking all day long. That's all I'd be doing. I couldn't do it. I could not work in that. There's no way I could do it to his face. Without tossing up my bacon and eggs. Couldn't do it. Mr. President? No. Presidents don't act the way you do. Mr. Obama or Satoro or Smoklovich or Smuckatelli. Whatever the hell your stupid name is. Motumbo. I don't know. Nobody knows. I don't even think you know. And you know, notice something else that I watched yesterday. And it dawned on me. I was trying to quit tobacco yesterday. That was a mistake. Didn't last very long. I did the other day. I went almost a whole day. But yesterday, that was it. I had to cross the street, go get some, And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm going to quit one of these days. I'm going to do it. I got to do it. But I'm thinking to myself, I mean, the way this guy was talking, or I wouldn't say talking, I'd say lying. He's getting better at it. Meaning he's getting more and more convincing at it, which tells me that this man is now deep. If he wasn't already before, which I'm pretty sure that he was, but if he wasn't before, now the evidence is out. It's settled. All right? It's settled. This man is a pathological liar. He has no concept, no idea that he's lying. He doesn't know the difference, and most liberals are pathological. If you've ever met them and ever tried to have a goddamn conversation with these people, it's almost impossible. It is. They are pathological. They have no idea that they're lying because they hear on television, they go on the internet, they hear MSNBC, they hear their little friends in their little coffee shops, they hear their stupid little college professors, and all they do is tell them whatever it is, and they just believe it, hook, line, and sinker, without question. I don't believe anybody. I don't care who the hell it is. Even if the Lord God Jesus Christ himself were to come down here and tell me something, I would have to go out and check it. I don't believe anybody. So what, you tell me this? Okay, fine. Now show me. What do you mean show you? I told you, that's enough. It's settled, damn it. There's climate change, and the Republicans invented it. The polar bears are dying. We're all melting. No, we're not. I don't believe anything anybody tells me. But how can you? I'd love to. I'd love to have faith in people. I would love to have faith in our government. But how many times do you have to lie to me before I finally say no more? Well, that was done a long time ago. I'll be honest with you. That was done a long time ago. And let me tell you something. It's okay to question your leaders. That's your job as a citizen. Yeah, that's right. You, as a citizen, actually have a job in our government. Believe that or not. Believe it or not, you, as a citizen, actually have a job in the government. Your job is to make sure that these people are doing their job. And you must question them. It's okay to question your leaders. I'm sorry, but it is. If you're not questioning your leaders every single day, you are not doing your job. You are derelict of your duty. Therefore, you must remain out of the conversation because I don't want to hear you. I'm sick and tired of you. I have a zero tolerance for stupid. You have a zero tolerance for guns. I have a zero tolerance for stupid. When you're going to sit on that goddamn couch, throw another bag of Cheetos down your fat gullet, watching the Kim Kardashian show, and then come up and tell me that I need to learn the science, I need to do this, I need to be understanding, I need to be tolerant. Speaking of tolerant, oh my God, in sweet blue heaven, do we have some liberal tolerance for you today, if I could ever shut up and get to it, but we will. Let's go to cut number two now. Where the hell is it? Let's go.
Why are folks working so hard for people not to have health insurance?
Why are you?
Why are they so mad about the idea of folks having health insurance? Many of the tall tales that have been told about this law have been debunked.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
There are still no death panels.
No death panels. Oh, do you hear that? The crowd laughing at that? I mean, these people that show up for this, I mean, these are some sick people, man. First of all, Mr. Obama, mad at people having health insurance, have you been paying attention? No, obviously you haven't, because if you have, you wouldn't have said that stupid remark. And yeah, it was a stupid, stupid remark. Nobody is mad at anybody having health insurance. They're mad that nobody has health care. There's a big difference. See, they think that you're stupid enough and don't know that. Well, the Obots sitting in the office, or in the audience there, they don't know that. Everything the king says is wonderful and great. They don't listen. They don't hear what he says. They just wait for the inflection of his voice to go up, and that's their cue to clap. It's pathetic. Nobody wants to take away health insurance. What we want to do is to give people actual health care. Just because you have insurance doesn't mean you have health care. We've heard these stories, and these are real people telling these stories. These are not phony scandals. Again, they're taking these people. Imagine if you were one of these people. Remember the guy? We've told you several stories, and these are real. These aren't fake. Guy has to come up with $400,000. Got to pull $400,000 out of his ass. Who do you know that can just simply pull $400,000 out of their ass? I can't. I've tried. Believe me. I've tried. Nothing up there. Nothing. It's not that we want to take away people's health insurance. We want to give people health care. Your little Obamacare or affordable. It's so affordable. Speaking of which, affordable, Nancy Pelosi. Good God, this woman. I mean, she never stops. She's now out there saying that while she took her little victory lap, you know, about Affordable Care Act, affordable. Oh, so wonderful. Now she doesn't want to campaign on the Affordable Care Act. She wants to now campaign on jobs. Don't you love that? When every time a liberal is about to be proved wrong or is proved wrong or they know that they're going to be proved wrong, so now they switch to jobs and middle class. You've had 6 years to work on jobs there, Nancy Pelosi, but all you did was take their jobs away. You don't believe me? How about 91.5 million people who don't have a job? Tell me how many jobs that you've created. And now they want to work on creating more jobs. So what's it going to be now? 191 million people out of work? Is that what you're trying to accomplish? Huh? I think it is. We want to work on jobs. Oh, we're not going to campaign on Affordable Care Act, no, because we already won, and it's set of law, and everybody's insured, and everybody's happy in unicorns and rainbows. Oh, so we're going to work on jobs. How are you going to work on jobs? First of all, Congress can't create jobs. All they can do is take away jobs. Do you know how jobs are created, Ms. Pelosi? Huh? Do you know how a job is created? No, you don't. The private sector creates jobs, Ms. Pelosi, not the Congress. Okay? Congress cannot create jobs. The only job a Congress can create is more government jobs, which government jobs are not, well, they're real jobs. People get up and go to work and they get paid. But that money does not come out, that money has to come from the private sector. The private sector supports that. The public sector cannot support itself. The public sector is supported by the private sector. The private sector is our economy, Ms. Pelosi. Hello? Wakey, wakey time. God, this woman is pathetic, and people believe this. How? How do you take this woman seriously? How the hell can anybody take this woman seriously? Seriously. How the hell do you take a woman like this seriously? How the hell? You people in San Francisco, could you please? I know you don't care about yourself. That's obvious because you voted this woman into office since the 80s. But if you're not going to care about yourself, could you at least care about me? Care about the rest of the people? Huh? Could you care about the rest of the country, please? Do us a favor. Vote for somebody else other than her. Or just don't show up for them. Don't show up. Just stay at home. There's plenty of Kim Kardashian marathons going on television. There's plenty of bags of Cheetos you can have. I'm sure there's plenty of couches in San Francisco you can lay on. Stay out of the voting booth, will you please? We're tired of having you screw us. We're going to work on jobs. How? How the hell does Congress create a job? And now they say, well, we've got these jobs bills. Every time I hear that, what the hell is a jobs bill? What, because you put it in a bill, you wrote it on a piece of paper and says there's jobs means there's jobs? I mean, how? Who is stupid enough to believe that a jobs bill creates jobs? There's no such thing as a jobs bill. There is no such thing as a jobs bill. It doesn't exist. It's phony. That's a phony scandal right there. A jobs bill is a phony scandal. But, however, Congress, the EPA, the president with his magic pen, they can certainly get rid of jobs, and they've done a damn good job of that. Go ask a coal miner how his job is going. How about those guys that work on those oil rigs? Ask them how their job is going. Ask all those people who lost their job because health care. Affordable.
It's affordable. It's so affordable.
Well, it's not that affordable. You know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. Millions of people did lose their jobs because of this
Affordable
Care Act. Companies can't afford this
Affordable
Care Act, so they had to lay people off. They had to fire them, lay them off, cut their hours. That's not a very easy thing to do for some of these employers. And it's not an easy pill to swallow if you're one of those who've just got the axe up your butt. So we're going to work on jobs. What if you work on resigning from your job? Maybe then the American people might actually get a job. That's a hell of a jobs bill. Your resignation, Ms. Pelosi, would be a great jobs bill. Get the president to sign that resignation, too. Get rid of y'all. Maybe that's a jobs bill. That's a jobs bill right there. When you won't allow American businesses to actually conduct business and they have to move their business overseas or they have to lay everybody off or fire half of their crew, how is that your jobs bill? How are you doing that? How are you building the economy? How are you building the middle class when you're doing everything you can to remove these jobs? And then you wonder why nobody's signing up for Obamacare, but they are because they just pulled it out. There it is. We got all the numbers we need. We got everything. We got 7 million. We hit our target. 7 million was your target. Really? I thought your target was at 50 million that didn't have insurance. Didn't we hear that for all these years when he started running for office in 2007? 50 million people out of 50 million people don't have insurance. So they build a website to handle 7 million, and over 90% of them are people who already had insurance. So who did you help again? You didn't help anybody. But they're out there spiking the football. Oh, look at us. We got our number. Those aren't real numbers. Have you seen the real numbers? Has anybody?
No.
How come they haven't broken it down? These are all the people that never had insurance before and now do. And these are all the people that used to have insurance but had to go into Obamacare because Obamacare took away their insurance because they didn't have abortion. Can't get a free abortion. Well, you don't have the right health care plan. Your health care plan is wrong. Really? But I like my health care plan. It's not up to you to decide. I pay for it, not you. I pay for my health care plan, Mr. Satoru, not you. Who the hell are you to tell me that my health care plan is bad? Contraception and abortion is not health care. Say that again. Contraception and abortion is not health care. I don't care if you believe in abortions. I don't care if you believe in contraception. But you have to pay for that on your own, for Christ's sakes. Why is this so important for contraception and abortion care? I don't understand it. That has nothing to do with health care. Guy goes in, he needs chemotherapy, but the insurance, Obamacare won't pay for it. But they can certainly give him an abortion, even though he doesn't have a vagina, but he can certainly get an abortion. But he can't get the chemotherapy to help fight his cancer. And you're helping who again, huh? And no death panels. Really? Huh. I remember, when was it? It was about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. It wasn't too long ago. You remember old Cat Sebelius when she made this quote? Well, you know, some people live and some people die. There was that little girl that needed a lung transplant. But Cat Sebelius said, no, that little girl can't get that lung transplant. Well, the doctor said, look, we can put a lung in this girl. We can do this. We believe we can do this. But, you know, government officials know more than doctors. Judges, they know more than doctors, too. We got another story in there about that little Peltier girl. If I can never get to it, we're going to get to it. Doctor says a girl can get a lung transplant. Well, then do it. The doctor feels that he can do the operation, then do it. Well, her first one didn't work, so she had to have another one, which is not uncommon, even for adults. Well, the last time I checked, the girl's doing just fine because the American people spoke up, and they got embarrassed. They got embarrassed. They didn't know that the American people were going to turn on them. Well, wait a minute. That sucks, man. That's pitiful right there. That the American people had to throw a fit to get this little girl a lung transplant. I'm sorry, the little girl needs a lung transplant. The doctors say they can do it. Well, you got to put her on the list. It's not up to you to decide, Miss Sebelius, whether this 10-year-old girl gets a lung transplant or not. That's between her parents, and the doctors. You have nothing to say about it. So don't give me this crap, Mr. Obama, that there are no death panels. They do exist. The goddamn Obamacare itself, the bill itself is a friggin' death panel. And that crowd laughing at that just makes me sick. What's the matter with these people? What the hell is the matter with these people? All right, let's go cut number three.
I've said before.
Yeah, I've said it.
I will always work with anyone who's willing to make this law work even better.
Really?
But the debate over repealing this law is over. The Affordable Care Act is here to stay.
It's settled, Abbott. It's settled. Well, the Affordable Care Act is here to stay. And you'll work with anyone, Mr. Obama. You will now. Really now. Like you worked with all those Republicans when the bill was being written? Remember that? I remember that. Republicans weren't allowed in any of the meetings. Imagine that. And this is the party of tolerance. Inclusiveness. Yeah. And, oh, we'll work with anyone. Well, obviously you worked with the devil, so I guess you will work with anyone unless they're Republican. I mean, do give me this crap you're going to work with anyone because you don't. Who believes this? How can you believe this? Well, Obama's believe it. He's the king. Kings don't lie. You didn't know that? Yeah, it's written right here in the King Handbook, page number one. I'm reading it. Kings never lie. Says it right there. Hey, King Handbooks. That's the way it is. ACA is here to stay. Oh, good God. You see now, Mr. King and Mr. McCain and Mr. Boehner, Mr. McConnell and Mr. Graham, Lindsey Graham, you see now why it was so important to fight? You had the goddamn government closed. You were handed the most perfect opportunity on a platinum platter studded in diamonds, and all you had to do was hold a line and say one magic word. No! But no, you didn't. You couldn't wait to drop trow and surrender. You see now why it was so important to fight? This is what I've been bitching about since I started this radio program. When you see a fight, you got to fight it. If it's a little fight, you fight it right away. What happens to little fires if you leave them unattended? Well, they grow into bigger fires. And what happens to really, really big fires? That's right. They get out of control. And you can't put them out. This is what happened. This is what happened to you, Mr. King, Mr. McCain, Mr. McConnell, Mr. Boehner, Mr. Graham, and the rest of you knuckleheads. This is what happened. You didn't fight, and now we got screwed because of you and your laziness. And guess what? You're all fired. I swear to God, I do believe it. I don't have any actual physical proof. But I think their actions definitely speak for evidence. If they were really, truly, honestly willing to stand up and actually fight and say no and never surrender, never surrender. That word, I don't even use that word. I hate that word. That's the S word. Don't use that word. I don't even know what the hell that word is. But this is what happens when you give up. This is what happens when you don't fight. You lose. And I swear to God, these people that did this crap, they come out there pounding their chest and acting like they're, oh, we're gonna go out there and fight for that, fight for you, fight for our base. We're going to fight for the American people. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. Then they drop trial. Here you are. We accept defeat. We were stupid to stand up and fight you anyway. We knew we were going to lose, but we were just going through the motions. Obviously, these people have monetary investments in healthcare, because if they didn't, there is no way that they would surrender as quickly as they did. No way, no way, no way. How much money are you guys making there in the Republican Party off of this Obamacare, huh? I think we need a good investigative reporter out there to go investigate this. And I'm not just running off at the mouth here. This is not just some rant I pulled out of thin air. Why would somebody not fight for something like this? Why would they come out and say we're going to fight and then not really fight? They didn't have some kind of ulterior motive. Like they want to get reelected, but they don't want to get rid of Obamacare because they're making too much money off of it. So they go out there and say we're going to fight for you, so they get reelected, and then they surrender, and they make a whole bunch of money. Me? I think that's wrong. Me? I think that's criminal. Me? I think they should be impeached. Personally, I think we're going to have to have everybody fired. I don't know how to clean this mess up other than start at the top and work all the way down to the goddamn dog catcher. Fire them all. Start over. That'll never happen. I know that's on the captain's wish list, and I know I'll never get it, but we can at least fight for it. Sometimes, when you set a goal, sometimes if you don't reach your goal, it's that fight that you take to reach that goal, and as long as you keep fighting, sometimes that's all that takes. Sometimes that's all that matters. That's all that it takes. And eventually you will reach that goal. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. There's nothing wrong with fighting for them. Even if you ain't got a chance in hell, there's nothing wrong with fighting. Let's just say, okay, you got the number one football team in the NFL playing the absolute worst team in the NFL. Don't you think that worst team is going to go out there and at least give it that old college try? You don't think they're going to go out there and at least fight the best way they can? You damn right they are. Football players fight. That's why they play football. And I hate to use this, an analogy, but you got to fight. You can't be afraid to fight. And if you are, you need to resign. You got no business being in office. If you're afraid to fight, you got no business. You just got no business, period. Never be afraid to fight. Never, ever. All right, cut number four. Let's go with this one now.
I've said before.
Yeah, you have.
I will always work with anyone who's willing to make this law work even better.
Did I say that one or did I say the other one? Could you guys wake up back there, please?
And those who've based their entire political agenda on repealing it have to explain to the country why Jeannie should go back to being uninsured. They should explain why Sean and his family should go back to paying thousands and thousands of dollars more.
Really?
They've got to explain why Marla doesn't deserve to feel like she's got value.
Marla?
They have to explain why we should go back to the days when seniors paid more for the prescriptions. Yeah. Or women had to pay more than men for coverage. Back to the days when Americans with pre-existing conditions were out of luck. They could routinely be denied the economic security of health insurance.
And they still are.
Because
today,
that's exactly what would happen if we repeal this law. Millions of people who now have health insurance would not have it.
What is he talking about? Millions of people who didn't have health insurance would not have it. You still have 47 million people, actually more like 50 million people still. I think there's maybe, what, 300,000, 400,000 people that they claim did not have insurance but now do? You still have 50 million people. So what are you talking about, million people, millions of people wouldn't have health insurance? All you did was take people who already had insurance and put them in this insurance because they didn't have abortion care, and now they do, which they don't want it, don't need it, and should not have to pay for it. And, yeah, their premiums are rising. But you know this excuse that they say, well, premiums are rising the slowest that they have in 50 years. What the hell kind of a crock is that? They are admitting that their insurance is rising, but they're saying it's not rising and it's not rising near as fast as the other. That's just crap. That is garbage. And you people believe it. Why? How? I don't know how it's, I don't know how to be that naive and gullible. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. And I don't want to know. Millions of people wouldn't have health insurance if it wasn't for me. My great and wonderful insurance. Yeah, you got insurance, but it doesn't cover anything. You may have a lower premium. But you go into the doctor, you're going to have to pay for most of the care out of your own pocket, if not all of it. And if you've got cancer, guess what? You don't get chemotherapy. Those are real stories, Mr. Obama. Those aren't fake. That's not a phony scandal. And he was talking about these two stories. See, now this is another thing. People on the right come out and they interview people and say, okay, here's all the bad things that these people are suffering from Obamacare. The left calls them phony scandals, and they're made out of whole cloth, according to Mr. Reed. But he didn't say that they were lies, even though they said that they were lies. They were untrue, and they were formed out of whole cloth. But he didn't say that they were lies. He never said anything like that, not to his recollection. Well, when you're senile, you're not going to recollect what you just said. You can't because you're senile. And yeah, Mr. Reed, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think you're senile. You need a doctor. Go get your Obamacare doctor. See if he can fix you. How about that? But what makes me sick is they can come out and tell you all these all these great and wonderful stories of all these people that got this. Those are the phony ones. Now, I don't know whether those stories are true to what he said or not, but I bet if you went down and actually looked at it, and they've lied, they've done this crap before, so it would be no surprise to me if they didn't lie again. They've lied too many times for me to believe anything that they say, and I don't, and I won't. I can't. It's impossible. How can you believe anything these people say? I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I can't. But if they come out and give a story, that's true. And don't you dare criticize it. Don't you dare. You're a hater. You're a racist. Oh, you hate people. You hate women. You hate children. Ugh. But you go out and you show actual evidence of people actually going bankrupt because of Obamacare, and that's a phony scandal. Yeah, just constructed out of whole cloth. They're lies. Only Republicans lie. Democrats never lie. They just don't have it in them. Oh, no. We believe in rainbows and unicorns. We don't lie. No. We're out fighting for that middle class. Yeah. We're out fighting for jobs. We don't lie. No. We love. Yeah. Well, those stories... Those tall tales that you say, Mr. Obama. I find those two stories that you told, I find those to be subject. I don't really believe those. You've lied to me too many times for me to just simply believe you. You're going to have to show me some proof. Okay, and so you got two. Now what? How about all the millions that we have that got screwed from you? But those are just made out of whole cloth, just tall tales. This stuff is going to slap in his face. I have a feeling. I'm watching this, you know, again yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, with the amount of lies that this guy is telling, and is, you know, convincing. Well, he wasn't convincing to me, but in his mind, he was convincing. And according to the audience that he had, which was pre-selected, I'm more than confident of that. They never would have invited me there, I can tell you that much. Of course, I wouldn't have shown up, but... All right, let's go with the last one here, then maybe we can move on.
History is not kind to those who would deny Americans their basic economic security.
You know what, that statement, this is why I played it. This is why I left it for the last one. History is not kind to those who take away American basic economic security. Well, you're right, Mr. Obama. Ask the British. Remember that little war we had a few years ago? It was over that, over economic security. That's what that war was over, economic security. It was over taxes. It was over gun rights. Everything in the Bill of Rights. That's what that war was fought for. So yeah, you're right, Mr. Obama. History is not going to be very kind to those who take away our basic economic security. You. You're absolutely right. That's the only thing that this man actually said was true. That's it. I think that's the only thing this man has ever said that was true, other than... He's 5 days away from fundamentally transforming this country. Well, we're going to fundamentally transform it back. And we're going to fight you, Mr. Obama. I'm not afraid of you. And I'm not afraid to tell you this to your fat face. I really don't give a damn. I don't care who any of these guys are. If you're afraid to fight for your freedom, you don't deserve it. I'd love to see these breakdown numbers. Who's actually getting it? And now they got another story on here. They claim that 3.1 million young adults have signed up for insurance on their parents' health care plans. Thank you for playing. Here's your steak knives. The best figures that we can come up with now is one-third of all the people that signed up for Obamacare didn't have insurance before. And these people aren't going to be able to really afford it if they have to use it. Out-of-pocket expenses are real. That's not phony. Those are real. Those are real numbers that have to come out of their pocket. They can't afford it. Sure, they got a low monthly payment. Okay, that's all nice and neat. But when you need actual insurance, you can't have it. You can't afford it. This is not affordable health care. And again, getting back to, this is going to come into his face. When people start actually having to use Obamacare and they find out that they actually don't have it or it's far too expensive and they can't afford it, we're going to have a lot of people in the poorhouse just because they've got a pre-existing condition. Just because they, well, we're clumsy and fell down. That's what old Valerie Goebbels said. Remember her? She's out there trying to get Hollywood to propagandize Obamacare. They know these numbers are bad. They know these numbers are wrong. But what they don't know is the American people are not as stupid as they think they are. No one's believing it. The media, is the media doing anything about it? We got one channel on television that's saying something about it. That's it, one. And they're barely covering it. Fox News, you could do a better job. Seriously. I got to be honest. You could do a much better job. And you don't need to bring liberals on there just to bring a liberal on there because they just argue just for the sake of arguing, which is counterproductive and tedious. It's a complete and utter total waste of time. I don't need to sit there and listen to that fat, obnoxious, repugnant Bob Beckel anymore. Good goddamn God. That guy makes me sick. I can't stand listening to that fat drivel coming out of his fat, repugnant mouth. And it's an argument just to argue. He doesn't ever have a point. And that stupid, what, Alan Combs? Oh, my Lord. I can't watch that. I can't listen to his voice. I can't. Turn the channel. Click. He's done. Don't bring these people on here. If they've got a legitimate point, okay, fine. Let's have the argument. Let's talk about it. But don't argue just for the sake of arguing. It doesn't work. You're wasting everybody's time, and there nothing gets done. But we have to be fair and balanced. How are you being fair and balanced? That's not balanced. When you don't have a legitimate point of view, because you don't understand the issue, and you're just giving an argument that has absolutely nothing to do with the issue. That's not balance, Fox. That's not fair. Because that's not fair to me, because I got to listen to this. And I got to toss up my goddamn breakfast every time I do. That's not fair to me. I want to keep my breakfast inside. You understand what I'm saying, Fox? Huh? Hell no, you don't. You're not listening. You don't give a damn. Let's move on. Good God almighty. Yeah, we already covered this Pelosi crap. I'm not going to talk about her anymore. All right, let's open up my treasure chest here. Let's see what kind of booty we can plunder today. God only knows. Oh, look at this one. Right off the damn top. Force removes POW MIA missing man table. Guess why? Anybody got a guess? Because it had a Bible on it. A Bible! A Bible! A Bible! A Bible! A Bible! We all know how offensive that Bible is. I mean, that Bible is more racist than the Constitution. It's homophobic, it's racist, misogynist. Ah! Most discriminating book I've ever read in my entire life. This is pathetic. Wait till we get to this story. And then we got liberal tolerance. We already talked a little bit about that. Wait till we get to that. Justine Peltier, speaking of liberal tolerance, now they want to hire old Alan Dershowitz, which he kind of is irritating sometimes. You know, I find this guy is either on or he's off. And when he's on, he's completely on. And when he's off, he is completely off. So I do like this guy. He's a pretty smart guy, and I do like listening to him. And I hope he can help. And he's right on this one. He's damn right on this one. And good for you, Mr. Dershowitz. You got my support, kid. First day of Common Core testing. Students sit out. And good for them. Good for them. We'll cover that story. If we can't get to that one today, we'll get it tomorrow. National Science Foundation funded climate change musical for $700,000. Now, you heard about this camel. Now, this, oh, come on. Our government gives a grant to some jackass to make a camel, $400,000 camel, to be put on one of the embassies in, I think it's Afghanistan. $400,000 for a goddamn camel. And this guy, the artist is saying, well, I stand by that figure. That camel's actually worth a lot more. It's a camel. $400,000? I'm an artist myself. And yeah, I have done sculptures. There's no way in hell you can convince me that that stupid camel is $400,000. Absolutely inexcusable. And if it costs you that much money to make it, you weren't doing it right. You need to get out of the art business. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. $400,000 for a friggin' camel? A camel? Well, you Americans, you paid for it. Hope you like it. You'll never see it unless you go to Afghanistan. But unless you go to New York, you can get $700,000 for a musical. Now, you know that I'm in the theater. I never was a real big musical fan, and I had to do several musicals. I did them in college. I've done them here in New York. I don't particularly care for them. They're phony to me. I don't like phony theater. Hate it. Always have. Always will. I don't like anything phony. That's why I hate unicorns. And I love real rainbows, but I don't like rainbows that are drawn. I don't like those stupid little things that people hang in their rear-view mirrors of a rainbow. I hate them. It's a sign of phoniness, because it is. Unicorns and rainbows are phony. They're signs of phoniness. I don't like them. Real rainbows are beautiful, a real rainbow. And every once in a while, you can see two rainbows when they intertwine together. That's beautiful. That's a sight. That's nature. But this cockamamie musical, which, whatever, on climate change. Climate change! You need $700,000, almost $1 million, to produce a musical for climate change. Yeah. Yeah, the American people really needed to have $700,000 taken out of their kitty to produce some stupid musical about climate change. We need our money back. You can take that goddamn camel and shove it up your ass. It's not worth no $400,000 in this stupid musical. I guarantee you it sucks. I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about it. I read a little blurb about it. And the blurb that I read about it, the plot line, the story, the premise, stupid. Stupid. Waste of time. Boring. I fell asleep reading the son of a bitch. And it was only two sentences, for Christ's sakes. We want our money back. And now we got Boehner. He backed out of that Ritz-Carlton event. You know, that he was going to go to that event, you know, the anti-Tea Party PAC. Well, he was going to go there and speak. Well, now I guess he backed out because his base said, no, we don't like that. So he wants to win a re-election. He wants to get re-elected. Well, Mr. Boehner, you're not going to get re-elected. You're fired. Now, removes POW-MIA missing man table because it included a Bible. That racist, homophobic, discriminating, absolutely disgusting book, the Bible. Such tables, a mainstay at military bases and veterans organizations, are set for six. One for each service. The Army, Air Force, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard, and civilian personnel representing personnel missing in action or taken as prisoners of war. The table was removed from Florida's Patrick Air Force Base. There goes Florida again. What the hell is going on with Florida? I love Florida. But Jiminy Christmas, man, what the hell's going on with these people? They can't vote. They can't seem to operate a goddamn turn signal on their car. And now this, they got to remove Bibles? Remove the whole table because it has a Bible on it. A Bible. Anybody ever been hurt by a Bible? Anybody ever break a bone because of a Bible? Anybody ever been discriminated because of a Bible? Huh? You have? Really? Wow, that's a shame. I feel sorry for you. The table was removed from Florida's Patrick Air Force Base because of one item traditionally placed on the table, the copy of the Bible. The 45th Space Wing deeply desires to honor America's prisoners of war and missing in action personnel. Unfortunately, the Bible's presence or absence on the table at the Riverside Dining Facility ignited controversy and a division, distracting from the table's primary purpose of honoring the POWs. Consequently, we temporarily replaced the table with the POW-MIA flag. So they take away the Bible and they put up the flag. Well, you're missing the point, and here's why. This is why the Bible makes... Now, listen, you know me. I'm not a real big spiritual guy. I'm not a real big religious guy, but I'm not afraid of religion. Any religion. I don't care. I don't care what you believe. I don't care. You can believe in anything you want, but it's how you use your religion. How you use that religion to affect other people, either positively or negatively. You use it negatively, yeah, I'm going to have a problem with you. You use it positively, I got no problem with that. How can you have a problem with affecting somebody positively? I don't know. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand that argument, because it isn't an argument. It's stupid. You affect somebody positively, you affect somebody positively. There's no problem with that. There is no problem. Here, this, we're going to read down here. This is what the tables are. Now, these are military organizations and meetings, and, you know, they got clubs and they got different stuff like that. So when you put these tables up, they're dressed up, and they're done to perfection, these tables. I mean to perfection, and they must be done exactly the way they are supposed to be done. And if they're not, one crumb, one little speck of dust, and the whole thing is shot. They take damn good pride. I mean, they take a lot of pride in this. And there's reasons for it. There are reasons for this. Each POW and MIA, each table, is set with absolute precision. This is from the National League of POW and MIA Families. This is how the tables are set. One, the table is round to show our everlasting concern. Well, I don't know where their concern is anymore. The cloth is white, symbolizing the purity of their motives when answering the call to serve. Single red rose is on the table. It reminds us of the lives of these Americans and their loved ones and friends who kept the faith while seeking answers. The red ribbon that is on the table symbolizes our continued determination to account for them. A slice of lemon reminds us of the bitter fate of those captured and missing in a foreign land. There is also a pinch of salt on the table, which symbolizes the tears of our missing and their families who long for answers after decades of uncertainty. There's also a lighted candle, which reflects our hope for their return, whether they're alive or dead. I know that racist, homophobic, absolutely disgusting, discriminating, just vile book, the Bible, represents the strength gained through faith in our country, founded as one nation under God to sustain those that lost from our midst. It's not about religion, you idiots. That Bible is not representing religion. It's representing the faith, man. Glass is inverted, which means it's upside down. It's to symbolize their inability to share a toast. And the chairs are empty because they're missing. They're not there. Now, this story, when I read this, man, I swear to God, man, I just about flew out this window, man. I almost did. I swear, one day, I'm going to ignite, and I'm going to have to do this radio show from frickin' planet Mars one day. I swear to God, it's going to happen. I'm going to be reporting from friggin' Mars one day, because I'm going to blast off into the cosmos. I swear to God, it's going to happen. And when I do blast off, I hope I'm holding my computer, because if not, then I'm going to need one hell of a megaphone. I'll tell you that. So, how is the Air Force going to resolve this situation? Well, after consultation with several relevant organizations, we now intend to reintroduce the POW-MIA table in a manner inclusive of all POWs and all MIAs, as well as Americans everywhere. We're going to put a flag. Well, the flag is nice. The flag is nice, but this was done a long time ago, and there's reasons for that Bible. The Bible is not representing a God. It's not representing anything but the faith, man. The faith, the faith, the faith. That's what it's about, man. The faith. That's what it's about. And that's what it takes. Faith. I don't have any faith in this country. I mean, this government. I got faith in the country, the people. But certainly not this government, and certainly not these jerks that are pulling this crap. But I have faith in the American people. And yeah, I do have faith that we are going to rise up. And we are rising up. We're rising up more and more. Every single day, there's another person waking up. There's another person throwing down that bag of Cheetos. Another person getting their fat ass off that couch. Another person turning off that stupid Kim Kardashian show. Every single day. You liberals are going to get your comeuppance. You're going to get your comeuppance. United States Representative John Fleming, a Republican, a racist Republican from Louisiana, took issue with the anonymity. I got that out again. How about that? I got that word anonymity out. I did it again. Boy, man, I tell you, my broken left-handed tongue is working great today. Took issue with the anonymity of the person who lodged a complaint. See, this was a person lodged a complaint. So if you're on the left, all it takes is one complaint, and we have to change the entire process. Change everything. Get it all down. Scrap it. Bring it down to nothing. Get rid of it. We got one person who's offended. Yeah, but what about all the millions who are not? Then that's what this is for. This person who complained has nothing to do with this. Why? Well, doesn't matter. They complained. They're offended. Get rid of it. Yeah, but what about our complaints? Well, you don't have a complaint. You're a racist. You goddamn Tea Partier. Who are you? Shut up. Since when does one unnamed, unknown individual have to veto power over the First Amendment rights of all people in the military and in the case of the Air Force? Well, good for you, Mr. Fleming. You're right. The inclusion of the Bible has nothing to do with the faith of those using the dining facilities, he goes on to say. And it doesn't. You just read what it was for. It has nothing to do with what God. It's faith. My Lord, it's a symbolic of faith of those missing or imprisoned. Faith that they're going to get them back. Faith that they might still be alive. Just faith, period. Why are people so afraid of the Bible? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. Oh, well, bad job for you, Air Force. A bad job. See, this is what happens when you try to appease to everybody. All you do is piss everybody off. Look, if somebody's going to get that offended over it, then good. They deserve to be offended. I'm sorry, but you do. You deserve to be that offended. If you're going to get offended over something so inconsequential to you and to the American people and to the world and to anything, you deserve to be offended. And they're not offended. They just wanted to complain. Anything to disrupt, that's all it's about. Has nothing to do with their beliefs. These people don't believe in anything. They don't have any faith in anything. Disrupt, distract, demolish, break down, criticize, ridicule. That's all it's about. Just argue. Don't worry about the facts. Don't worry about the evidence. Don't worry about anything. Just argue. All right, we've got more to do here. But I want to play this song here today. Now, I know that this particular song here is not exactly really so much about what we're talking about here, about the POA, a prisoner of war, and the missing in action guys. And some gals, too. This is from my good friend Arlo Guthrie. Sometimes, yeah, I know, he's about a 2-3 panty-wearing liberal sometimes, but there are times where he is right, and there's a lot of things that he is right. He's actually a registered Republican, too. A lot of people don't know that, but yeah, Arlo Guthrie is a registered Republican, believe it or not. But there are times, and I've seen him in concert, standing right there, right next to him after the show, talking to him. This song here. It's not so much, it's the song, the name of the song is When a Soldier Makes It Home. And he's talking about when soldiers come home, people don't really seem to care anymore. Well, it just seems to me, and the reason why I'm playing this song is because not only do people don't seem to care anymore when a soldier makes it home, but they don't seem to care if they ever get home. And that's why I'm going to play this song here. Now, I'm telling you, I'm a passionate guy, and I'm not afraid to admit that I get teared up. I do. If this song doesn't put any tears in your eyes, they don't have to be dripping down your face, but if they don't put tears in your eyes and tears in your heart, you're not listening to the song and you don't have a frickin' soul. Now, the song's about 7 minutes long. It's live. And I want you to listen to the words. I want you to pay attention to it. Pay attention to the song and listen to it. If you're going to go to the bathroom, you're going to go feed the cat and take the dog out, turn the volume up so you can hear it wherever you go in your house. And you make sure you listen to this song. And we'll be back after this.
Wavy Gravy was right. Wavy said, if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there. I look back on some of those times much more fondly than I remember being in them. Remember a couple of things. Remember there was always something else, some new crisis, some another movement or something, and some new issue. million things all going on at once, and everybody had to choose up sides, it seemed like, on everything. And I came out of that whole time thinking I'd only met two different kinds of people. There's people that give a damn and people that don't. And the truth was, you could find both of those kinds of people on every side of every issue. And in the long run, I thought you might even have more in common with people that care about stuff than you do with people who side with you on an issue or two as they're going through time. Which is a long way of saying I made some friends that I didn't expect to make over all these years, and some of them are here tonight, some of them I actually know. So here's a song for some friends. Like a lot of folk songs, this one is not just overdue, but already outdated. Wrote it before the war in the Gulf was getting thought about. But I think the feeling holds up. It goes something like this. In a strange and foreign land, a soldier packs his memory as he leaves Afghanistan. Back home they don't know if you mind, there's just no way to tell. I guess he had to be there for to know. Government in Kabul falls to the sound of rebel guns, and the faces of the comrades seem blown out of the sky. Leaves you bitter with the feeling that they didn't have to die. Thank you. care back then when his soldiers made it home. The night is coming quickly and the stars are on their way. As I stare into the evening looking for the world, just a boy that's far from home, and I thought that I was just like him. Well, upon this earth I roam. And it may not be any victory if I ever make it back, as I come home undercover.
That's it right there. Well, you know what? I hope these guys do make it home. I really do. And when you do something this stupid, I'm sorry, but come on. You're really going to complain about a Bible? And these people, this whoever complained about this is probably somebody who's never going to show up for this event. It has nothing to do with, they probably read it in some magazine somewhere or heard somebody say it or something. And so now they got to complain. And these are people that claim that they're tolerant. They're inclusive. Speaking of tolerance, let's get into real liberal tolerance, shall we? Let's do this. Start right here. A Michigan mom and a leukemia patient, Julie Boonstra, already had a run-in with the tolerant left. Boonstra, who filmed an ad, see? Those phony scandals again, just made from whole cloth. Her leukemia, Mr. Reed, was made from whole cloth. It doesn't really exist. And Mr. Carney, yeah, it's just a phony scandal. I mean, this leukemia, it's a phony scandal. It's phony. It's not real leukemia. It's phony. It's fake. They pulled this out of her ass. It's out of whole cloth. Who filmed an ad about her struggles with Obamacare for Americans for Prosperity. Oh, right there, Koch brothers. Good God, right there. That's phony right there. Americans for Prosperity. Imagine that. Oh, that's racist. I mean, it's got to be. If you want to be prosperous, you want to prosper? Oh, that's hateful. That's hate speech. You racist, you big hater, you. Big hater, hater, hater. Prosperous. Any American who wants to be prosperous, that's a hater. That's bad news, man. You're no good. You're no good. You big prosper you. You're no good. But she films this ad for Americans for Prosperity, and then was targeted by the Michigan representative Gary Peters, who threatened to sue her into silence. Imagine that. The woman's already got enough. Already got enough going on here with leukemia. Now, I don't know very much about leukemia other than, I guess, it's like a blood cancer. Only thing I know is it kills you, and it's very painful. And people who do go through it suffer. It's not, you know, it's not like a headache. You know, it's not like a hangover. I mean, it's some real suffering. So now we're going to get into the tolerance of the left. This is your Democratic Party, Ms. Pelosi, Mr. Reid, Mr. Obama. This is your party. Your party. Why you, Mr. Obama, the king of the liberal party? Why did you not chastise this guy? You'll go out and chastise the police for arresting a guy for smart-ass mouthing the cops. which I don't know what really went on with that, and I'm pretty sure that both guys were out of line. If you really want to get down to it, cops do have a bad habit of getting out of line and then arresting first and asking questions later. But it doesn't really matter. That's besides the point. We don't need to rehash that. But here's where the real tolerance begins. Slade O'Brien, that's her name, a Southern Regional Director for the Americans for Prosperity. She's got to be a hater. Shared this letter that was sent anonymously to this woman, Miss Boonstra, who's suffering from leukemia. Here is the letter, and I'm going to read it to you. First of all, the envelope. Whoever wrote it didn't put their name on it. But they put a phone number on there. 1-800-EAT, figure out the rest. Four-letter word, peanuts and corn, and you'll come up with the word. Here's the letter. I am tired of seeing your dying ass on TV. You should be ashamed of yourself. Hope cancer kills you soon. Signed, a concerned and pissed off citizen of the United States of America, USA. Let me tell you something, you son of a bitch. I am one pissed off citizen of the USA right now with you. Hope cancer kills you soon? Why the hell would you do that? Why would you say that to anybody? Even in a joke? I couldn't even do that in a joke. Even if it was somebody that I couldn't stand. I could never say that even as a joke. Not even a joke. No, you don't do that. You don't say things like that. That's a mean heart. See, that's anger. Remember we talked about that yesterday, the difference between anger and frustration? I'm not angry. I'm frustrated. Angry is mean. Angry is hate. This right here, I'm tired of seeing your dying ass on TV. That right there is enough. That right there is enough. You don't need to have any more of this letter. Right there, that's enough. That's hate. That's anger. That's mean. You should be ashamed of yourself. Ashamed of myself because I got leukemia? I should be ashamed of myself because I got leukemia. I went out and I purposely injected leukemia into me. Well, I don't mean me. I'm speaking as this woman. So you understand where I'm coming from. And hope cancer kills you soon. Gee, that's tolerant. That's tolerance for you right there. Good God Almighty. Come on. Mr. Obama, are you going to say anything about this? And then this son of a bitch, who is this guy again? Gary Peters. Well, I'm going to do some investigation on you, Mr. Peters. Maybe I should write a letter to you. Imagine if I wrote a letter to Mr. Peters and said, I'm tired of seeing your ass on TV, and I hope you die soon. You think maybe they'd find out who I am? You think maybe I'd go to jail? Yeah. Yeah. And this guy has the audacity, is going to sue this woman? She's already going through cancer, leukemia. I mean, don't you think the woman's had enough? I think she's had enough just getting the disease alone. But when Obamacare is not going to help her, I mean, there's only so many abortions that you can give a cancer patient. Eventually, you're going to need, you're going to need some other treatment. Abortion is not the cure for everything. Jesus Christ. This is tolerance. This is tolerance of the left. Now, we got more tolerance of the left. I mean, it just doesn't stop. I mean, these people are so tolerant. I mean, oh, come on. Justine Pelletier, or Pelletier. I mean, I've heard the name pronounced so many different times. I got a broken left-handed tongue. I can't pronounce anything. So I apologize for not pronouncing your name right if I pronounced it wrong. The point is, this family now wants to take up Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz to help. There shouldn't be any help whatsoever. This should not be a case. This should not be in my treasure chest right here, right now. This is not something that we should be talking about. This should not even be a case. This shouldn't even exist. But it does. Because everybody's got to, again, I know, sound like a broken record, but again, it goes with that trickle-down tyranny. President's a tyrant and everybody else underneath him. And now this son of a bitch, this resident, whoever this resident is, had a bug up their butt and didn't like the fact that the parents said, you know what, I don't like that opinion. I'm going to go get another opinion, which who doesn't have the right? Who has ever heard of somebody not having the right to get a second opinion? Huh? Most doctors will tell you to go get a second opinion. The good ones will. I've had them tell me that. And you know why the good doctors will tell you to get a second opinion? To make sure that they're right. And if they miss something, they want to know what they missed so they don't miss it again. That's a good doctor. There's nothing wrong with second opinions. And you do have the right to get a second opinion. Especially when your daughter is sick and you're trying to do everything you can to make her better. But they didn't like it, so they took the kid away. Imagine that. And then you have an irresponsible judge who went along with it. Said, oh, you guys decide. I'm not going to have any. No. That's an irresponsible judge. That's a lazy judge. You hear that, judge? You're lazy, Mr. Joseph Johnston. You creep. You should be put into a frickin' mental hospital. Not this girl. For God's sakes, man, what you people are doing to this girl. She's now 15 years old, been in a mental hospital, psycho ward, for over a year now, and her parents, they get a chance to see her, what, once a week for an hour? Heavy supervision. Imagine not getting to see your kid and watch your kid every time you get a chance to see her deteriorate. Oh, you wanted to see her on Christmas and holidays and birthdays. Oh, no. 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 We can't have you do that. No. So the family now, they want to get Mr. Dershowitz to help. You know what this family needs? This family needs every single American to show up to that courtroom. That's what we need. Flood that courtroom. Flood that entire town. Show the world we're not going to take this crap anymore. That's what we really need. If there's a way to organize that, to see how many people that we can get to show up, Americans supporting Americans. That's what we need. We're Americans. We've got to support each other. We've got to stand by each other. When one of our Americans falls, we've got to be right there picking them up. Those are our brothers. Those are our sisters. You going to let your brother fall and not pick him up? You going to let your sister fall and not pick her up? What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Pick them up. Someday you may fall. Someday you may need to be picked up. Think about that. Think about if this happened to you. What would you want? Well, I'm calling on any American. If you can get down there. Where is this? Where is this damn place? I know it's in Massachusetts somewhere. Fort Payne, Massachusetts Juvenile Court. I'm trying to find out exactly where it is in Massachusetts. I should find that out. We'll get to that. Once I find that out, we're going to report it. I'm going to organize this. I'm going to see if I can get some people to organize getting as many people down there as possible. We're going to occupy Massachusetts. How about that? That's what we need to do. We'll occupy that entire goddamn state if we have to. Girl go home to her family, for Christ's sakes. Just because her parents wanted to do everything they could to save this girl's life, they've got to be punished. But the girl herself, the victim, the girl suffering from whatever this disease is, she's the one being punished now because her parents dared to get a second opinion, which is not only your right, but which is the smart thing to do to make sure that you get it all. Sometimes doctors can see one tiny little thing that another doctor can't. It doesn't make that other doctor who didn't see it incompetent. That's not what that's about. Because a doctor missed a tiny little speck in an x-ray or a tiny little this and a that or a tiny little this and a that, that doesn't make that doctor incompetent. It just makes this guy over here was able to see it. You got two people looking at the same picture, they're going to see completely different things. It's just the way it is. Then you flip it upside down and you get bring two more people and they see it completely different from them. And that's what it's all about. It's all about getting to the right answer. And that's all this is about. And now you got to punish this kid, punish this entire family Well, they're not punishing just that little girl and just that family. They're punishing me. They're punishing you. They're punishing every citizen in this country. And that's wrong. That's why we've got to show up in there. I'm going to find out exactly where that is. I'm going to get the address. We're going to show up there. I'm going to figure out a way to organize this. I don't know how the hell to do this. I've never had to do anything like this before. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't do that. I don't do protests. I don't do any of this crap. We don't do that. We've never had to do this before. We don't know what the hell we're doing. The left, they do that. That's all they do is protest. But this is wrong. And this isn't a matter about a left or right. No. This is about wrong or right. And this is wrong. Real wrong. We need to occupy Massachusetts. One, that girl needs to go home to her family. Two, that judge needs to be off the bench. Three, that stupid the resident. Whatever his or her stupid name is, they need to lose their job too. That's right, lose your job. You're fired. Never allowed to work in the medical industry again. You do not do this to people. What's the matter with you? How would you feel if this happened to you? Think about that for a moment. Think about having your daughter or your son removed from you because you wanted to get a second opinion. Imagine that. I don't know how this father can keep his composure. I don't know how to do that. I couldn't do that. No. No, I can't even keep my composure. And I don't even know these people. I live two states away from these people. I don't know these people. But yeah, I'm pissed. That's my sister. And her family are my brothers and sisters. And they're yours too. We're Americans. We got to stand up for each other. Nobody else is going to. We have to. That's our job. God. Well, Mr. Dershowitz, I hope you can do something. I don't know what, but I'm going to find out the address to this, wherever this, let's see. Juvenile Court Judge Joseph Johnston. I'm trying to find out if they can put the People's Republic of Massachusetts is so corrupt, and we need to get some of that genre. Yeah, it is corrupt. Well, I'm going to see if I can find the address. The Massachusetts Department of Children and Families took emergency care of Justina on Valentine's Day, the Boston Children's Hospital classroom. Let's see if I can find out. I'm trying to find out where the hell this is. Well, we'll get to that. We don't have time to sit here and go back and forth on this. But I'm going to get that. Let's see if we can't organize something, a protest of some sort, some kind of demonstration, some kind of something to show our support. Because this is wrong. We don't do this. This girl's been in prison now for over a year, and her health is deteriorating. Why should this girl suffer like this? Because some resident had a bug up his butt? Because the parents didn't come in and kiss his ass? Didn't smile correctly? No. This is wrong. This is criminal. This is criminal. And the judge, he leaves it up to the Department of Children and Families to decide. No. You leave it up to the parents. That's their kid. That's not the Department of Children and Families. That's not their little daughter. That's not theirs. They don't own that girl. Who the hell do these people think they are? They don't own that girl. The parents do. That's their daughter, not yours. Well, we got to find a way to put an end to this. We got to find a way to show some real outrage. This is wrong, man. All right, moving on. God, I just every time I think about this story, I'm thinking to myself, think just if that was me, how would I act? I'm already reacting in a way that I know that I would be in jail. But just think how you would react. What would you do? They take away your child because you dare to get a second opinion. I mean, that's arrogant, right? And that judge, didn't you? I mean, what the hell's the matter with you? How could anybody not see that these people were in the wrong? How do you not see that? How do you not see that the Department of Children and Families were in the wrong for taking this kid away because they wanted to get in a second opinion? Judge, you need to be removed from the bench. If you don't understand what your position, you don't understand what you're supposed to do, you can't see reality, you've got no business being on the bench, Mr. Johnston. You're a creep. That's what you are. Yeah, that's right. You're a creep. And I'm not afraid to tell it to your fat face. You are a creep. And that resident, I don't want to see you because I would be in jail because I would slap the living piss out of you, you creep. First day of Common Core testing in New York. Students sit out. Do you blame them? I mean, they have the right to sit out for this test. Why are they even doing this test? Look, I mean, if you've done any kind of research on any kind of anything relating to Common Core, you don't need any more. You don't need to keep it implemented. You don't need to keep pushing forward with it. You know it doesn't work. Mr. Cuomo, you're an idiot. And Jeb Bush, why you're supporting Common Core, I don't know. You don't deserve to be president. Don't even run. You know, I love the Bushes and all. But I got to tell you something about the Bushes. Here's what pisses me off. If I met them, I'm pretty sure I'd get along with them. I'm sure they're good people and I like them. But whether you like them or not is irrelevant. The Bushes have opened the door for liberalism far too many times. Daddy, he opened it up with Agenda 21 in 1992. And then, of course, Clinton came into office. One of his first things that he signed with his little magic pen, don't ask, don't tell. And then he allowed Agenda 21, implemented it with a stroke of a pen. Imagine that. Signed this Agenda 21. You don't know what I'm talking about? Well, get on the internet and look it up. Look it up. You look it up, find it out for yourself. You got to do homework. I'm sorry, but you got to do research in this world now. You can't expect just to go to college and have your little professor just spoon feed you all the information. It ain't going to work. You got to find this stuff out. You got to pay attention. Look around you. Talk to people. Don't do it over a text. Don't do it over a tweet. Don't do it over email. Actually have a physical conversation. Don't do it over that stupid phone. Actually look people in the eyes and converse with them. I know. It's hard. But it doesn't hurt. And you feel good. And that's okay. You don't bleed. No pus oozes out of your pores. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody's bones are broken. You get actually something done. It's called conversation. All right. Is there anything on this stupid story? I feel like I'm teaching literature. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, this goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Well, they've got some of these kids that the parents picked them up and took them to the library and actually was teaching them while the other kids were taking the test. And some schools said no, that the kids have to sit there for, what is it, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is, and sit there and do nothing while these other kids take the test. For what? Why would you do that? Why would you make a child just sit there? 8 years old, just sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. You really think that kid's going to sit there and be quiet for the length of that time of the test? You do? Really? You do? Wow. There shouldn't be any tests with this Common Core. We've got more and more states that are trying to get out of it now. And then they blame it on the governors? No. Well, I do give governors some blame. I got to give some governors some blame because they got greedy. Only thing they saw was dollar signs. There were five states that didn't sign up for it. One of them was Texas. Thank God for Texas. We're losing Texas. There's a lot of blue moving into Texas. Texas, you got to stand up and move them bastards back out. Don't let them take over Texas. They take over Texas, we're done. We're screwed. We're over. We're done. We're done. We cannot lose Texas. J. Jesus is. All right, let's find out what this
whole Boehner deal is now.
I mean, one minute he's going to go to this whatever, this little anti-Tea Party PAC convention, and now he's not. Let's figure out what the hell this is. I don't know too much about it, so we're going to learn together. Republican House Speaker John Boehner, or John Boehner is what it should be. He is a boner. Was in talks to appear at an event next weekend at the Ritz-Carlton, hosted by an anti-Tea Party PAC devoted to fighting conservatives. Well, you know those conservatives. They're haters and racists. And I mean, they just hate. They just want all this freedom for everybody. I mean, it's pathetic. You know, if they just wanted freedom for themselves, you know, we wouldn't have a problem with it. But if they're trying to give this freedom to me, no, that's when I stand up and I say no. Boehner, preliminary talks to join fellow House members at a $5,000 a head event, hosted by the Republican Main Street Partnership PAC, before deciding not to appear due to a scheduling conflict. Don't you love that? Don't you love those scheduling conflicts? Yeah, those. You want to talk about phony scandals? Or I'm resigning to spend more time with my family. Really? Your family? Your family's so important to you. Yeah. I mean, come on. Who believes this? Look, the guy got chastised in the news. He wants to win a re-election. That's the only reason he's doing it. Why would he even say to do it in the first place? The fact that he said he was going to go in the first place is enough. That's enough. You don't need any more. And just because he says, no, I'm not going to go now, oh, I'm going to forgive him? Oh, okay, you said you weren't going to go. Okay, I'll forgive you. I'll vote for you again. No, the fact that you even thought about going there was enough. The event will reportedly attend $5,000 donors to the PAC. Blah, blah, blah. The event will be hosted at the Ritz-Carlton, Republican Main Street Partnership. I mean, blah, 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 blah. They have decided to systematically go against center-right Republicans in primary elections. The Daily Caller said, referring to his Tea Party rivals, the Tea Partiers are happy to call him Rhino. He's not. He's more than a rhino. I mean, this guy's a creep. All of them are. They don't care about you. If they really cared about fighting to repeal Obamacare, we'd have Obamacare repealed. Because they would have held the line and they wouldn't have budged. You would have made them surrender. But did we? No. You really think the American people were that upset that the government was shut down? I wasn't. Were you that upset? No. Nobody was. Nobody was over going around blaming Republicans for shutting down the government. I mean, where did they get this from? Where did they get that? I didn't see any ire from anywhere. Nobody was calling me up. I didn't get any tweets. I didn't get any emails. When I was walking down the street, going into the stupid markets, I didn't hear anybody bitching and complaining that the Republicans shut the government down. It wasn't on their mind. Don't think for other people. Don't speak for other people. Speak for yourself. And don't tell me what it is that I'm mad about, what I'm upset about. I tell you what I'm upset about. That's how this game is played. Ah! All right. You know what? Screw it. I know it's a little early, but I'm going to turn the ship around. We're going to pull into port. I'm sick of it. I want to thank everybody listening today. I know my first mate, she was there for a little while. And I'm a good friend, Vito Esposito. Thank you for listening, and thank you for downloading. I do have a lot of people that do listen over their phones that can't get the chat room. But that's okay. That's okay, as long as you're listening. So we will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, everybody.